2 Corinthians 7:4, great is my boldness of speech toward you, great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort, I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us as we look at this great challenge that the Scriptures are going to give us today, and I pray that we would take it as such. It'd be a wonderful thing, Lord, if we could send out from this congregation this morning an army of people into the community that would take this great challenge. Titus was used in a remarkable way in this portion of Scripture. May we seek to be used by God, employed by you, our God, to bring comfort and encouragement to those who need it. Guide us and direct us, Lord. Help me as I preach, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Paul makes these statements in verse 4. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. And then in verse number 5, he gives testimony that it was not always so. Matter of fact, just very recently, he was going through a time where just the opposite seemed true. For when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Now, if you're going to underline two words in all of this portion of Scripture, and I could get you to underline just two, it would be the first two words in verse number 6. Notice what it says. Nevertheless, what? Nevertheless, God. That comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the what? The coming of Titus. I'm going to preach on this subject this morning. I'm going to give you what I'm going to call the Titus challenge. The Titus challenge. Let me tell you, I cannot be effective in ministry, and I don't think very many people can be very effective in ministering to others without making a study of people. You know, you need to get to know two groups of people. Number one, you need to get to know the people around you. Number two, you need to get to know yourself. If you can learn yourself and learn others, then you put yourself in a great situation to really learn how to be a blessing to people. A lot of us know everything about us and not much about other people. There's other people that have the natural inclination to study others but don't seem to know much about themselves. If you'll study both of those areas and ask God to give you insight in those areas, it'll help you to be a blessing to others. One of the things that I've noticed pastoring a church is this. Look right up here, I can help you. January and February are tough months, depressing months. Anybody want to say amen? Although I got to say, we haven't had a whole lot to complain about as far as the weather has to go. What about Friday? Did you get out at all on Friday? I just got on my knees Friday and said thank you. But I wasn't done. I said, Lord, this would just be fine all the way through May. And how many of you are suspicious that maybe we won't have perfect weather all the way between now and yes? Yes. You know what? It just seems like this time of year is just tough. We have ended the holidays, and it just seems like with that seems to come sometimes a period of the blues. It just seems like that everything that is normally hard is harder during these months of the year. One of the things I want to remind our people about is this. It's not just you having a tough time if you are. There's a lot of people around you that's going through tough things. I pray through our church membership list. And I just use the list of names and I pray through them. And many, many times God will bring to my mind, and by the way, you may not have the same amount of insight that I have as far as some of the challenges and problems and heartaches that some of the folks are going through, but let me just say this. I used to listen to Brother Howell's radio broadcast up in Hammond when he used to be on the radio, and he'd always end it by saying, be good to everybody because everybody's having a tough time. and goodbye from the pastor study. And that's how he ended his broadcast. Can I say that to you? Be good to everyone, because everybody's having a tough time. Preacher, I'm telling you what, I've got this going on in my life. Yeah, and you might be sitting behind or beside or in front of somebody that has 10 times what's going on in your life, going on in their life. You know what I found out is this. It's a blessing to learn to be a blessing. It's a blessing to learn to be a blessing. Now, what do you mean as far as taking the Titus challenge? Well, we see that this is not, folks, just an average Christian that's going through a tough time. This is the Apostle Paul. This is one of the greatest Christians in all of Christian history. This is one of the most wonderful examples as far as for a preacher or a missionary or a Christian man. You talk about somebody that faced a lot of things and endured and kept a good spirit and was an overcomer and all of these things, but that doesn't mean that he didn't have genuine problems come into his life. And he was the one that said our flesh had no rest. And he was the one that wrote we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. And then this wonderful verse where God steps in. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Now I'm going to mention this in just a minute, but all comfort comes from God. He is the God of all comfort. But he oftentimes enlists people to be, watch this, comfort ambassadors for him. Which means a lot of times it isn't God that shows up in some miraculous way. It is not his presence alone that brings comfort. It is his feeling of another person with a heart to bring comfort that comes and helps somebody that's in distress or despair. I don't know a whole lot about Titus. I know that he was one of the young men that Paul trained into the ministry. I know that there's an entire book that is written to him as far as admonitions for a young preacher, inspired by God, written down by the, of course, hand of Paul. But let me just remind you of this, folks. God used this young man to bring comfort. And the challenge that I want to give you, the Titus challenge that I want to give you for the rest of January and the rest of February, and you know what, it'd be all right if you just went ahead and did it in March and April and May and June, July, is this. During this tough time of the year, let's ask God to allow us to be a Titus to somebody. Did you get that verse again? Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us, watch this, by the coming of who? Titus. There's a song that we have in our songbook. We used to sing it a lot when I was growing up, that little country church. Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. Here's the chorus. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Out of my life may Jesus shine. Make me a blessing. Oh, Savior, I pray, make me a blessing to someone today. That's the Titus challenge in song. Titus said, you know what? There's a group of people in Corinth that are having a tough time, and I'm going to go try to comfort them. And then after I comfort them, I'm going to take the news that I received from them, the good news, and I'm going to go back to the Apostle Paul, and I'm going to see if I can comfort him. What a great way to live. Let me give you some things about Titus that I hope will be a challenge to you this morning as we just work our way down through this portion of Scripture. Number one, Titus came at a time needed. Titus came at a time needed. Now let me again go through verse number 5 and just tell you where Paul and his fellow laborers were when Titus showed up and brought them this great comfort. Verse number 5, for when we were come into Macedonia, number one, our flesh had no rest. They were weary in body. Weary in body. Do you ever just get tired? Some of you say, preacher, I am tired right now. I'm weary. I've worked hard this week. I'm fighting off whatever's being passed around the congregation. And it seems like we, this time of year, have a lot of increase as far as just people to pray for. This flu bug goes around. This cold goes around. Most of us are fighting something right now. We spend our week, I have, snorting and sneezing and you know, washing my hands a lot. By the way, let's all do that. Let's wash our hands a lot. And every once in a while I get home from a church, and of course I stand at the back door and try to catch as many hands as I possibly can, and then I'll get home and it'll be time to eat, and I'll say, I think I need to go wash off the fellowship. And so it might not be a bad idea when you get home from church to wash off the fellowship, amen. But I always like the brother that's in line waiting, and he goes, "Achoo!" And then he sniffs it, "How you doing, brother?" You know, and amen, God bless you. Yeah, it's good to see you, praise the Lord. And but they were weary in body. Their physical temple was worn out. Our flesh had no rest. But it doesn't stop there. It's one thing just to kind of feel a little bit down as far as physical body, but the Bible goes on to say this. He says, "But we were troubled on every side." Now, if you do a little study of that phrase, and I was going to have the guys do this, but I'm not sure I get them settled back down. But you know, if you brought on the platform about 15 guys and scattered them around the platform, and then on signal, they all came together and just crowded me, because that's what it literally means. It means to be thronged about, to be put into a narrow spot, to be crowded. And so all of a sudden, you got 15, 20 guys, and they come in, and they get as close as they can to me, and they bunch in against me, and pretty soon, I'm just like, I can't move. Are you picturing this? That's what that phrase means. And it wasn't people, it was problems. It was troubles. It was heartaches. Have you ever noticed that a lot of times troubles don't come one at a time? They don't take a number. Okay, next. And then you finish with that problem. Okay, next. You finish with that. You know, you don't get that luxury. You notice how many times when problems come, they come and they crowd you, and you're trying to deal with this one, and you say, "I can't deal with this." So you turn, but there's one here. I can't deal with that. And then there's one crowding from this way. And that's how Paul felt at this time. And I'm talking about a victory Christian. I'm talking about a rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I'm talking about a guy that most of the time's on the upside. But you know what? The happiest Christian in the world, the most victorious Christian in the world, the most mature Christian in the world sometimes is just overwhelmed by the circumstances of life. And so this is how we find Paul when Titus comes. But it doesn't stop there, okay? He said, "My body's tired. I'm literally surrounded and thronged with problems." And then he goes on to say in verse number 5, the end of it, "Without were fightings and within were fears." And so he said, they're not only thronging me, but he said, amongst themselves there's fightings. And they're fighting with each other, and they're fighting me. Now that's the external things that he's dealing with, but he doesn't stop there. He says, within is what? Within is fears. And so a lot of times, folks, what we have to face on the outside and what we have to face externally begins at some point to affect our very hearts and souls. And next thing we know, fear creeps in. Well, I don't know what the answer is. I don't know how I'm going to get through tomorrow. I don't know how to help this person. I don't know where this resource is going to come from. And this is the condition we find one of the best Christians in all the world. Now, that's an encouragement to me. If Paul has gotten there a few times in his life, I expect the rest of us will get there a few times in our lives. But notice what happened. Nevertheless, well, I love this. Nevertheless, God. Number one, Titus came at a time needed. Number two, Titus came at the direction of God. Now, I want to give God full glory and full credit. We're going to talk about Brother Titus and the blessing he was. But remember this, folks. If you get comfort, that comfort ultimately came from God. I love those two words. Nevertheless, God, comma, that comforteth those that are cast down. So God is the master comforter. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, just a few chapters back, verse number 3 and 4. We read, "Blessed be God, even our Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted." So although God may use a person to bring some comfort into your life, always remember this: to God be the glory, great things He hath done. And so God is the God of all comfort. When Jesus left this earth, He told His disciples that He would send a comforter. John 14 verse 19, "And I pray the Father, and He shall give thee you another comforter Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now look right up here. I want to help you. I don't know the heart of every person here. I'm not meant to know your heart. But let me just say this. God did not intend for you to live your life without God in your life. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are living, trying to live an existence that God never intended. God wants to be there for you and with you. He wants to save you. He wants to then indwell you with the Spirit of God. He wants to be the God of all comfort in your life. I hurt for people that are trying to struggle through the problems of life. You don't know how many times I said it yesterday to a couple that was talking about a friend of theirs that was going through a tough time. And you know what? They're at a church. And I said, you know what they need? They need God. I said, I know it's going to sound like something some preacher's supposed to say, but you know what your friend needs? They need God. How do you know that, preacher? Because I need God. I need God. And you know what? God is that God of all comfort. Now, Titus came at the direction of God. Listen, God did not create you with the intent of you having to face the trials of life alone. The great, great part about being saved is that the God of all comfort becomes your heavenly Father. The Holy Spirit takes up residence in your body. He is the great comforter. He lives in you. He brings with him his divine presence, his supernatural ability to comfort and bring peace in the midst of a storm. Listen, being saved doesn't mean all your problems go away. Paul even said that. He said, I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulations. Listen, it wasn't the circumstance that changed. It was a baptism of God upon his life. The comfort and peace of God that passes all understanding. You know what? The best recommendation I can give you if you're here without Christ is to get saved. And if you're here as a child of God, and you know what? You're not letting God have the access and the place of importance in your life that he ought to have. Let me encourage you in 2000. By the way, I'm proud of some couples in here. I'm proud of, you know what? Your preacher pays attention. I'm convinced there's some folks that have just said, I'm going to start 2012 and we're starting on a new page. And you know what? Sunday mornings we're going to come to the house of God. Let me just say, I'm so proud of you. You know what you're doing? You're giving God rightful place in your life. And you know what? You say, preacher, but I still have some problems. I know, but isn't it amazing how now the problems, even though they're still there, you don't feel alone in facing them anymore? Isn't it interesting that the longer you just stay faithful and keep giving God preeminence in your life, how all of a sudden you begin to see his hand here and his hand there and his hand coming in here? I went by and seen Tim and Carrie yesterday, and they know what I'm talking about. I went by to try to be a blessing to them, and I sat there for 30 minutes listening to them tell story after story of the differences that God has made in their life since she's gotten saved and Brother Tim's gotten back in church. And they said, preacher, we're just trying to put God in first place in our life. And here I thought I was going to go be a blessing, and I was just blessed. And I said, you know what? That's it. That's what the whole world needs. That's what this whole community needs. God never intended anybody to face life without him. So I went to be a blessing, was blessed. Also, I got to mention this. He had a big pot of barbecue beef on the stove. So he goes over and dips a big container of it, and we take it home last night, and I heat it up. And see, folks, listen, visitation pays. It does. Yeah, for some of you that won't go visiting, that's fine. What did you have to eat last night, amen? I'm going to tell you, I've got to get Brother Tim's recipe. I don't know if it's a secret recipe, family recipe, or whatever. But I text him from home. Yeah, I'm texting. I'm sorry. And I text him at home, and I said, Brother Tim, this barbecue is epic. Epic. That's the word for it. It was epic, man. Woo, glory to God. I had two sandwiches yesterday. My wife had one. I think Tab had one. We got some left over. We're going to have it for lunch. Amen. Anyway, go ahead. Go out and try to be a blessing. God will see that you're blessed while you're trying to be a blessing. Titus came at a time that was needed. Titus came at the direction of God. Number 3, Titus brought comfort with his presence. Now, that little phrase, folks, yes, the number one phrase that I would want you to underline, if you're only going to underline one, is nevertheless God. But the secondary phrase that's in that verse is the last phrase. Nevertheless, God comforted us by the coming of Titus. I love that. I read that this week and I said, I'm going to preach on it Sunday morning. God put his stamp of approval on it, so that's what I want you to bring to the people. You know how God brings comfort? God a lot of times brings comfort by sending somebody to come, and just their coming, just their presence brings comfort. God is the great comforter, but he often sends his comfort by way of what I already labeled as a comfort ambassador. God says, I know who needs comfort, and I'm going to send you to them to bring them the comfort that they need. Now, that's the challenge that we're going to give you on this Sunday. I want you to do it tomorrow. I want you to do it this week. I want you to do it throughout the months of January and February, especially. Let's be especially sensitive to people. A lot of folks are going through a tough time. This is kind of a hard time of year. I mean, it's just the weather that's eventually will get, it just makes everything harder. You know what? People are just, have you noticed, they're just a little more sour and short. You say, preacher, that didn't start in January and February. You didn't do much Christmas shopping. But, and you're exactly right. I didn't, praise the Lord. And it's just a tough time. It's like a lot of folks are facing increased challenges in their own personal life. You know what? Why don't you decide, God, please make me for the next couple months a comfort ambassador. You see, Titus brought comfort with just his presence. Preacher, so-and-so's going through a tough time. I don't know what to say. A lot of times it's not what you say. It's just being there. Just being there. There's something about just a person's presence. Sometimes they come up and they don't say a word. They just kind of grab your elbow and squeeze and nod at you. And they don't move on. But you know what? Just the fact that they stopped by. Just the fact that they came. I'll never forget this. In my own personal life, I was going through my second year of Bible college. And I'll be honest with you, it's kind of weird, but my first year of Bible college, I wasn't homesick. I'm not saying I didn't miss home. From time to time I did, but I wasn't homesick. There's a difference between missing home and being homesick. But my second year, I'm going to tell you, I went through about a month or two where I just got a terrible case of homesickness. And it just made everything tough. And my dad at that time was going through transition in the ministry here, was getting ready to go out to Maryland and start a church. And I guess maybe part of it was in the back of my mind. I always knew Mom and Dad was just a quick 3.5-4 hour drive away, and all of a sudden that wasn't going to be the same anymore. I don't know what it all was, but I know that I was struggling. And I went to class and I went to work, and of course I just continued doing what I should do. And by the way, that's what you ought to do. Are you listening to me? That's what you ought to do. That's what you ought to do. Just keep on keeping on. But you know what? My heart wasn't right. My heart wasn't in as it should have been. And I was battling some things. And the God of all comfort sent somebody up. I remember still driving into Baptist City after work late. Got off work, came in late. And as I was getting ready to pull in into a parking spot, I looked down in front of my dorm and there was a vehicle. And I said to myself, boy, that looks like Jack and Penny Gordon's vehicle. And, well, it's not, but it sure looks like what they drive. I don't know if you guys remember this or not. And I got out of my car, and I walked over there, and Brother Jack stepped out. And they drove all the way from here. And here I was working late, and they knew I was going to work late, and they were waiting there, and just said, God put you on our heart. Before you go in the dorm, let's run out and get a bite to eat. I think we ran out, got a bite to eat. They spent a little time, got in their car, and drove back to Jacksonville. And you know what, folks? Just the fact that somebody cared enough to show up made a difference in my life. God said, here's a young man in the ministry, studying for the ministry, and he's struggling a little bit. He's got some heartache. The problems of life are starting to crowd in. He's not just fighting things that are external. Now he's starting to fight things that are internal. And you know what he needs? He needs a Titus. He needs somebody that'll just show up. Say, what did they talk about? I don't remember. Oh, what did you? I don't know. But they were there. Are you getting this? You don't know that the times that God prompts your heart to take the extra time and extra sacrifice to go and be a blessing to somebody and show up in somebody's life, you don't know that that might not be one of the turning point moments of that person's life. So it's just a matter of your presence. Listen to this. Let me give you a statement. A person seldom forgets who was there during the mountaintop experiences and the valley experiences in their life. God uses people to comfort other people. Thank God. I want to be that. Now, I want to help some of you. Look up here, and I want to help you. I'm going to give you an assignment here in a minute. Don't let me forget to get back to this. But I want to help some of you. Some of you are sitting there saying, "Preacher, you're exactly right. Somebody needs to come comfort me." And you're missing the entire point. You're missing the entire point. I don't know how to get past a toxic mentality that's invaded so many Christians. They will hear a message like this and go home and stare at the door and say, "I wonder if anybody's going to obey it and come be a blessing to me." And they 100% miss what God's trying to teach you today. You see, while you're sitting there feeling sorry for yourself, wanting someone else to come be a blessing, if you would take half a second, get on your knees and say, "God, show somebody, bring somebody to my mind that has, compared to my thimble full of problems, has a bushel basket full of problems, and let me go out and be a blessing to them." I'm going to tell you something, it would revolutionize your life. It would revolutionize your life. Now listen, God uses people to comfort other people. I'd like to send out an entire congregation this morning as we're dismissed. Get in your cars, head out into the community. And for the next week, I would like to send out a whole army of Tituses. I'd like people to go out and say, "You know what? I'm going to ask God to help me to find people that need comfort and encouragement. People that are going through difficult times. People that need a kind word. And I'm just going to show up and try to be a comfort by my presence." But Titus wasn't just a comfort with his presence. Titus brought comfort from the overflow of the comfort he had received. Now, did you get that in that verse? Let's pay attention to what the scripture says here in verse 6. "Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only." So it wasn't just his presence, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I'd rejoice the more. Now, I want to try to just convince a group of Christians here of the way Christianity is supposed to work. Okay? I want to have your hearts for a second here. If you're a born-again Christian in God's family, you know what? This is how it's supposed to work. You're supposed to go out and be a comfort. And then you know what? God's going to see to it that in while you are going to be a comfort, you'll receive some comfort. And the comfort that you receive then ought to be taken to another person wherewith you try to be a blessing and a comfort to. And while you're trying to be a blessing and a comfort to that person, the interaction of that moment is going to bless and comfort you in some way. And then you take the overflow of that experience and you go try to comfort someone else. And in the attempt to comfort someone else, you're going to find out that God comforts you. And then from the overflow of that experience, you go and you find somebody else and you try to, are you getting this? You try to comfort that person. And then as you're comforting that person, you're going to find that God blesses those who try to be a blessing. And soon you're going to receive even more comfort. And from the overflow of that experience, you turn around and you try to find somebody else to be a comfort. What a great way to live a life! What a great way to live a life! You see, if you make no attempt to try to be a comfort, you are not going to be blessed and equipped to be able to be a comfort for somebody. That's why those of you that are selfish just sit around saying, "Well, I don't know, I'll tell you something. I don't know if I'm going to come back to this church. I've sat here for 2 services, and nobody's come shook my hand." You know, can I make a suggestion to you? Why don't you get up and go shake somebody's hand? Why don't you get up and go shake somebody's hand? You see, you're judging them on the basis on which you won't let God judge you. You know, listen, preacher, you just seem like it. I mean, you're a blessed person. I'm going to say this. I'm blessed. Well, how do you get all those blessings? Let me tell you how you get them. You go out every day of your life and you try to be a blessing. And as you try to be a blessing over and over and over again, you know what? You're going to find out you cannot out-bless God. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. never enters into my thought. Not part of my thought process. Well, why hasn't somebody did something for me lately? Don't have that thought. Well, wonder what, that brother's not done anything for our family in a long time. Don't have that mentality. Don't have it. By the way, Jesus didn't have it while he was here on earth either. You know what Jesus did? He didn't get up every morning and say, come serve me, come wait on me, come help me, come be a blessing to me. You know what he got up? He got up and he poured his life into people and poured his life into people and poured his life into people. Poured his life into people. And you know what? What you're going to find out is the comfort. Listen, why was Titus able to bring that comfort back to Paul and comfort him in his time of need? Because he had gone first to a group of people who needed comfort, brought them comfort. The overflow of that comfort came back on him and equipped him to go back and be a blessing to Paul. And guess what? As he was being a blessing to Paul, Paul got happy, started rejoicing. The overflow of that comfort came back on Titus. Now he's ready to go help somebody else. And that is a great way to live your Christian life. That's how it's supposed to work. Paul sent Titus. Paul was not able to be there for the church of Corinth. Titus went to bring comfort to the Corinthians. In turn, Titus received comfort from the people he was sent to comfort. When reporting back to Paul, Paul received comfort from Titus. The result of the comfort that Titus had received from the people he was sent to comfort. I don't know what I said, but it was good. Amen. Amen. This is what I find out. People that live their lives trying to be a blessing to other people are the happiest people in the world. Amen. No, preacher, I want a secret to happiness that doesn't involve me having to sacrifice. There is none. I want a secret to happiness that doesn't involve me going out and being inconvenienced. There is none. I want a secret to happiness that doesn't involve me having to at times be a blessing to others. There is none. That's how it works. Take the Titus challenge this week. Take the Titus challenge. I'm going to tell you something. I mean this. I feel blessed. I mean, many, many times a day, the blessings of God come back. But I don't wake up with a scorecard wanting to keep score of how much I'm blessed. I wake up with a challenge in my heart to how much I can be a blessing. And I'm not just saying this. I live this way. You talk to my wife. You talk to my family. This is how I live. This is how I want to live. There is no better way to live. Remember when I was just a college kid, 20 years of age. I think it was, if I'm remembering right, I tried to calculate back a little bit. I believe it was on my 20th birthday. My 20th birthday. This would have been in 1982. Yeah, man alive. Wow. It just hurts to say that. It's 1982, my 20th birthday. And I was celebrating my birthday that weekend. That my birthday fell on a weekend that weekend, and I'm not the kind of, you know, when I was up to college, I never woke up in the morning, you know, 3 days before and said, hey, 3 days, guys, to my birthday, you know, guys don't do that stuff, you know. And I knew my birthday was coming up, and so what'd you do? I went up on Saturday and did what I normally do and visited all my bus route and stuff and didn't say a word about my birthday. And then Sunday morning, I went to pick up all the people, and I think Sunday was the 29th, if I remember, August 29th. Monday was my birthday, and there was a family that rode our bus, and I mean just one of the sweetest people, groups of people, a mother, an elderly woman, two of her daughters, adult daughters, and then one of the adult daughters had two children, and they rode our bus, and they were just a personal blessing to me. So I'm doing the Sunday morning thing like many of our bus people did, and I jumped out and I ran up to the door and knocked on the door. And not that I needed to, because they were always ready to go, but I ran up, knocked on the door, and all the kids came out, and they're looking at me, and they're kind of giggling and laughing. And then Grandma came out, and she's looking at me, and Carmen came out, and then Mrs. Rivera came out, and Mrs. Rivera had in her hand a cake that was just about the size of the top of this platform here. Now, you know how your preacher feels about cake. I mean, I love it. I do. I love it. And she brought this huge cake that they had evidently ordered from a bakery. I mean, it was professionally done. It was beautiful. And it said, Happy Birthday, Brother Jerry, on it. It was decorated all up. And I saw that cake. And it was just one of those. Listen, folks, I've had a lot of birthdays, okay? Yeah. We don't talk about it much, but yeah, they're starting to stack up a bit. And if you told me, I said, preacher, okay, 50 birthdays. What's the nicest thing you ever got for your birthday? I probably in the top three would be Mrs. Rivera walking out. At a time when I just needed to be reminded that God still knew that I was there. And she walked out with that cake, and I stood there, and just tears come down my face. I said, how'd you know it was my birthday? I still to this day have no idea what the answer to that question is. She just looked at me and says, God told me. She's being a smart aleck, I think. But we got on the bus, and man, on the way home, I'm not on the way home, on the way there. We didn't wait till on the way home. We got plates out. We cut that thing. There was no program on the bus. There was cake. There was no singing on the bus. There was cake. There was no preaching on the bus. Matter of fact, it may have been the greatest day I ever spent on the bus route, right? We just ate cake and had a good time. Just a little over a month ago, I got a call from now these two little kids I was telling you about, grown-up people. Mrs. Rivera fought a lengthy battle with illness and finally succumbed, and the angels came and took her. And Willie, her son, called me and said, Brother Jerry, I thought you'd want to know my mama went to heaven, and we're going to have the funeral at the memorial at Memory Lane and up in Schererville, Indiana. And I just wanted to let you know. I said, thank you for letting me know. And I got on the phone and had Sister Tina order some flowers and take care of that for me. And then I told Cheryl, after praying about it for a day, I said, I'm going to drive up there. You folks, listen to me. Sometimes just your presence. Just your presence. I didn't say anything to Willie. I didn't say anything to Elizabeth. I didn't. By the way, Grandma, Mrs. Santiago's already in heaven. Carmen was there. Little group of family members, not anybody outside of the immediate family, and a little bit extended family was there. 8-10 people to see this lady laid to rest. And I come walking in, our visitation before the funeral. I came walking in, and Elizabeth came over and laid her head right here and just wept. Brother Jerry, thank you for coming. Willie came over. And Carmen and me used to have this thing. Now, I was 20 and she was probably about 30. But every Saturday when I visited her, I would propose to her. I did. I mean, they knew it. When I came to the house, they were waiting. You know, at some point, while he's here in the visit, he's going to propose to my aunt, you know, and I always did. And she always got really embarrassed and would tell me, get out of the house, and then I would leave. So Carmen, one of these days I'm going to teach you all bus visitation tricks. But no, never mind. I won't. But I did. It got to be our joke, you know. Sometime during the visit, I look at Carmen, she's like, stop. Carmen, I'm trying to stop, but I can't stop what's in my heart. Brother Jerry, get out of here. I dream about you every night, Carmen. Brother Jerry, get out of here. You know, and she would throw me out of the house again, you know. That's our joke. So here comes Carmen, she comes, she gives me a hug. She says to me, I should have said yes to you. Where's my wife at? There she is. You're lucky, girl. I'm telling you why. And we laughed and kidded, and then we all went up to the casket and shed a few tears and shared a few memories. Listen, folks. You say, preacher, why did you drive? Why in the world? This is a bus mom from a route that you haven't been on in 30 years. Let me tell you why. Because there was a day that God used her to comfort me. And there was a day that I wanted to go back and make sure that the people she loved was comforted. Can I say this, folks? That's it. I don't know what else you think the Christian life is, but that's pretty much it. That's how the church family is supposed to live. That's how we're supposed to act. That's how we're supposed to treat each other. I don't understand this mentality amongst people that claim to be a children of God that just come to church with this idea that you're here to be a burden to somebody, or you're here to try to break someone's heart, or you're here to try to say something caustic just to cause somebody to have a bad week. I don't get that. That's not in the Bible. That's not Christ-likeness. That's not the way we're supposed to be. So why don't we this week take the Titus challenge? Titus said, I mean, this wasn't a veteran preacher. This wasn't some aged, mature sage. You know what this was? This was just a young preacher. But he got something from the Apostle Paul. He followed Paul around and he said, wow, everywhere we go, Paul tries to comfort people. I'm going to pick up on that. I'm going to see if I can be a blessing. And God gave him an opportunity to return to Paul the comfort that Paul had been to him when Titus needed. When Titus needed a godly hero in his life. And so he came back and he gave that opportunity. Why don't you decide you're going to comfort somebody with your presence? I mean, just stay. To preacher, listen, be Holy Spirit led. You listen to God and God will direct you. Well, what do I do? Just show up. Well, what do I say? Well, here's something you can share. You can always share Scripture with them. For Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. That we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. You know, one of the things that I've found is very effective when people are going through tough times and you don't know what to say, read your Bible and ask God to give you an encouraging verse and walk up and just say the verse to them, or write it down on a card and give it to them. Say, I prayed for you this morning. I asked God to give me a verse that I hope would comfort you. Here's that verse. The Scriptures always work. When I don't know what to say, God always knows what to say. So you comfort them with your presence, with your words. There's life and death in the power of the tongue. I don't understand why we as Christians use our tongue for so many harsh and mean and caustic things. God help us. May we be convicted this morning. Share some Scripture with them. Share a kind note. You know what? Just two or three sincere sentences of encouragement and love and kindness does such a... Listen, our college students... Now don't forget our Bible college students. Are you looking up here? Don't forget our Bible college students. Hey. Why don't we get somebody up here? Let me get some help with a couple guys. He's all right. He can't help it. He's just getting sick. Brother Jeff, why don't you take him right out through that door there and let's see if we can get him some help, okay? All right, that happens from time to time. That's okay. Let me have you two guys right here. You feel led of the Lord to move somewhere? Yeah, listen. Go ahead. Why don't you guys hop back and find some place to sit, okay? Are you okay? Or you need to move? Think you can handle it? You tough? You need to find some place. Someone help this young man. Let's find him a place to sit right here. Yeah, amen. I have a feeling the Lord's going to have me wrap this sermon up, you know. I'm trying to check out the first couple rows here and see if there's any of you reactionary hurlers. You know, there's people that don't take well to the... There we go. We're amen. The Holy Spirit's leading. Amen. Hey, thank you, brother. I didn't even know we had that stuff. Is that what it's for? What's it called? Vomit powder? Is that what it's called? That's not the official name for it? Kitty litter. Is it really? Is that what it is? It's kitty litter? Absorbs odor and absorbs other stuff? Are y'all doing okay now? We still good? Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Brother Eric, you were a Titus. Thank you very much. You are a blessing. Thank you very much. Share the Scriptures with somebody that's going through a hard time. Just a short note, some time of encouragement. I told Brother Charles here a while back, a couple years now I've been doing it, I said, listen, don't just send the kids their support check when our Bible college students bring the envelopes to it and lay them on my desk. And every month I take the time and I write them all a personal note and letter and just let them know they're not forgotten. There's a church back home that loves them. There's a preacher that loves them, that we're proud of them. Give them words of encouragement. Give them a verse or two to encourage them. Are you getting this? Our elementary students. You know what? You say, preacher, man, I'd like to get a note like that. Our elementary students in Christmas at our school all took the time to make handmade, by the way, these are the best Christmas cards in the world. Construction paper, handmade Christmas cards. They came in the last chapel when I was preaching, the last chapel for Christmas break, and all the elementary kids came up right before chapel and handed me a note, Christmas card, I mean artwork, you wouldn't believe it. Some wrote letters, notes, sweet things. Are you getting this?
I sit down and I write the college students and I try to be encouragement to them. 2 days later, I walk out there and somebody walks up and says, "Here, preacher, we love you." You see, what we want is we want the person to come, but we won't go. We want someone to bless, but we won't bless. Do you get this? Do you understand this? You see, folks, listen to me. This is the way God created it to be. Comfort people with your presence. Comfort them with your word. Share the scriptures. Share a simple verse. Share letters and notes of encouragement. Find somebody that you just feel like needs to be lifted up a little bit. Be a blessing to them. Share an encouraging word. Sometimes you just pick up the phone and call somebody. Let me just tell you something. The Holy Spirit will direct you. If you'll listen, He will direct you. You know that person that you haven't thought about in a long time and all of a sudden they're just on your mind constantly for a couple days? That's not an accident. Pick up the phone and say, "Hey, how you doing?" And they'll say, "I'm doing all right. What's going on?" "Well, I don't know what's going on. I just know that God has put you on my heart of late, and I've been praying for you, and I want to make sure you're okay. Are you okay?" And you know what you'll find sometimes they'll say is, "Yeah, I'm okay. Thanks for praying." But you know what you find a lot of times? The voice at the end, on the other end of the line, gets quiet. And finally, when it speaks with a quiver. I remember a preacher that God had put on my heart, and he wouldn't leave me alone about it. And I called his house, and his wife answered the phone. I said, "Listen, is brother so-and-so here?" I said, "Listen, is your husband here? He's been on my heart lately. Is he okay? Is he there?" And the wife began to weep and said, "Brother Jerry, how do you always know when to call? How do you always know?" And the answer to that is, I don't always know. Matter of fact, I don't know at all. But if I listen to God, He tells me. I'm not saying I always listen to God. I'm not saying I always get it right. I'm saying if I listen to God, He tells me. Hey, what is this Titus challenge, preacher? The Titus challenge is this. Let's go out and be a blessing. Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Out of my life, may Jesus shine. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing, O Savior, today. Make me a blessing to someone today. Let's take this challenge this week. Titus, I believe, made an eternal impact on, watch this, on the Apostle Paul. I don't know enough about Titus. We'll have to get to the judgment seat. This is for God to discern. I don't know enough about his life. But I think that probably Titus did not accomplish, maybe from our viewpoint, as much as the Apostle Paul did. But I wonder if the Apostle Paul would have accomplished what he did had it not been from a visit from a Titus in a time of intense need. Are you thinking about this? Here's the Apostle Paul. His body's weary. He's overcome with problems, crowded, hemmed in. Everywhere he turns, not only is the external problems and fightings getting to him, but now he's beginning to even doubt himself. The fears are finding place. And here comes a young preacher back from a trip and says, "Paul, I got to share some things with you." And he goes out of his way to bring comfort to that preacher. Would Paul have quit? I don't know. Would Paul have fallen out of? I don't know. Would Paul maybe done something stupid during a time of discouragement? I don't know. I know this. That Paul himself writes down these words and credits this young preacher for coming at a time when he needed him and allowed himself to be used as God as a comfort ambassador to the great Apostle Paul. I want to be that. I want to do that. Let's do it this week. Heavenly Father, I would pray, Lord, that you'd take what we've preached this morning. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd use it in our lives. Lord, may we leave here, dear God, less focused perhaps on the problems of our own life and more focused on the problems of those around us. May we sing under our breath this week, out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine. Lord, help us to do that. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. Help us to be a blessing. Help us to learn to live our lives being a blessing. We mentioned earlier in the message, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we mentioned earlier in the message about salvation, the importance of it. I don't know what you're going through in life, but if you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, God wants to be the Father of all comfort in your life. He wants to be a blessing to you. You were not intended to live your life without God as your Father and without Jesus as your Savior. If you understand that you're a sinner and understand that Jesus died on the cross for those sins, was buried and rose again, if you are under conviction of the Holy Spirit of God and feeling the drawing of the Father, preacher, I need to be saved. I know I need to be saved. God's told me during this message I need to be saved. If that's your testimony, during the invitation, in just a minute when we stand, if you'll come to the nearest aisle up to the front, we have Brother Jack Gordon standing here and he will greet you. Come right to him. He'll get somebody to take the Bible and show you how you can be saved today. Hey, Christian, let's decide this. Let's decide this. Let's take the challenge. Let's leave here with a heart looking for an opportunity to be a blessing. Heavenly Father, bless our invitation time, we pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand to our feet. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're going to let the piano player play. If you're here without Christ as your Savior, would you step to the nearest aisle, come forward. Brother Jack Gordon's up here. He'll greet you. He will get somebody to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Christian, how about enlisting? How about accepting the challenge? How about making this invitation time a time where you say to God, you know what? I want to be that. This week, I want to be that to other people that you send my way. Lord, make me a blessing. Help me to be aware of people around me. Help me look for that one that's brokenhearted, needs some encouragement.